HD, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
That's us. Boys doing research, so. Ooh, I forgot. We got a special thing.
Saints. B's and B-Boys. I love this book, guys. I love this.
Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew, entire and whole this week. To my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking more Saints and insignificant information than any one person needs to know. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're going to do Sports Talk 97.7, the SEC Sports Pub, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, welcome in. Another exciting week of Saints football.
How do you like doing the show by yourself?
What, I don't even know what you mean.
Because we're not paying attention.
I know. Okay, so should we get into this just right off the bat? Should we
Just jump right into it.
All right, so these guys are sitting here. They're not paying attention because apparently he didn't see the picture.
I didn't.
The picture of Cam Newton looking like Rollo.
Yeah.
Now, well, let's let this ride a little bit, right? That brings back some memories.
Yeah.
Listen.
They don't make show tunes like this anymore.
Tomas is pulling up the picture on his phone to show Heath because I told him about it and he didn't hear it or see it. And so he's like, what? So Tomas is showing him and everybody's laughing. They're not paying attention. I'm trying to start the show. But here's the thing. I've had people ask me, and I think Tomas has asked me before, Dave, all these commercials you do, we got Camafed, we got Camafloss, and we got the second Camafed commercial.
Yep.
And there's just all kinds of other things that I've done, and they all rotate around Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Why don't you do one for Atlanta? I'm like, you know what? Listen, no one in the NFL gives you as much material to make jokes about as Cam Newton does. And it's every week with his dress. And then it's, you know, it's always something here or there with the flossing his teeth on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Who flosses their teeth during an NFL football game on the sideline? And I mean,
he must have had a piece of hot dog stuck in
there. They had something a brat caught in there, you know, like at the end.
Maybe
piece.
Some turf. I don't know.
Some turf, hopefully. So anyway, so you got to go if you haven't seen it. I have it on my Twitter. Tomas, you have it on your Twitter?
No, I don't have it on
it's
mine.
It's Saints BS. You can easily look it up. Find this picture. And Cam Newton looks just like Rollo. Matter of fact, somebody took a picture of Cam Newton after the game in his press conference. Dressed with the, is that a Kango?
I don't know what kind of hat.
The
hat
that's brown.
Bebop
he got the,
type hat,
yeah, he got the like brown jacket that's, you know, that just is long, kind of, you know, mid thigh.
Yeah.
All brown. And then next to that picture is a picture of Rollo from Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely hilarious. So, I mean, this guy, every week, it's something that he gives you material to make fun of him, make jokes. And I don't know if he thinks he's standing out. I don't know if he thinks that he's doing something that will separate him. But it's one thing to do something that separates you. It's another to do something that makes people laugh at you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure his team would prefer him to separate himself with his play on the field.
Absolutely.
You know. If,
well, yeah.
Well, in a good way.
Yeah,
well,
oh, okay. Well, yeah.
To the positive, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I have no idea what that is.
I mean, it's hard to explain, Tomas, what goes through a man's head that wants to get all this national exposure, but all of it is just laughable. It's stuff that just makes you.
Well, he doesn't think he's loud. He thinks he's a fashion plate.
I mean, but he can't by
he's
now.
A fashionista.
Is he completely deaf to the noise around him?
But now let me say this to you. Okay. I mean, he takes it to an extreme. But if you watch some of these other people on the television, who do the various football games. And have you ever watched Michael Irvin?
Man, are you saying he's taking it that far? Because I've never seen him take it that far.
Any anybody
I mean, every
who wears
once in a while.
Red plaid suit with a checkered shirt and a striped do. Please.
Okay, and you're right. I've seen it before. Maybe I just okay, maybe he does it occasionally.
Yeah. A green and then jacket, a red jacket, blue. No, he takes it to the but these people again, many of these former athletes or current athletes, they think they have to make a statement with what they wear. Mm-hmm.
But what kind of statement are you making?
Kind of reminds me of a guy standing on the sideline in a fur coat.
I mean, if you go back to that,
you know, in the 60s. Okay. So okay. So at some point in the future, like 25 years from now, people will, when something happens or a player dresses crazy, they'll be like, "Oh, Cam Newton." But do you want that to be your legacy? Is where I'm going with this. And I guess Dandy Don back in the day when he wore the big fur coat and stuff.
It was Joe Namath.
Oh, Joe Namath. Thank you. Sorry. And so I just.
But see, I can't see it being the same, Heath, because.
It was, you know, for his day, it was synonymous.
Shocking, maybe.
You know? Yeah, it was. It absolutely was.
Now, and I have to admit that based on the things that you said, and you kind of remind me, it's just that Cam is right in your face, and he does it all the time, and it's absolutely ridiculous. You forget that other people have done similar things.
There,
and that's a good point, Heath, that back in the day, that was outrageous.
Oh, it was.
It was outrageous.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't think of being outrageous that way. I mean, my recollection is that.
Oh, it was that and wearing the pantyhose.
Well, now he did the commercials.
Take it off. Take it all off.
That was that time's version of this, you know.
Yeah,
now,
been, maybe.
The difference is Broadway Joe went out and brought his team a Super Bowl championship.
That's correct.
You know,
that's
he
correct.
Did dive on the ball when he had the opportunity.
That's correct.
You know?
That's right. He's got bad knees, bad hips now because of that.
Yeah.
But he was willing to sacrifice it for his team.
That's right.
Well, anyway.
As opposed to.
Hey, all right. So now there's something else that we have to get to.
It's the big one.
Oh, it's, okay. Elizabeth, I'm coming to meet you, honey. It's Don Bobo.
Don Bobo.
Don Bobo is undefeated. Now, we have a hotline call, and I think we're gonna have to bring that up because listen. All this is new to me. I mentioned this in the shows before. All this stuff is new to me. I'm not sure exactly how it works. The first week, we gave our homage to Don Bobo, but we had a bunch of injured players. It worked. We won, but I didn't realize that we had to make some sacrifices.
There you go.
So this, you know, we started.
Chicken came up.
We started, you know, sacrificing the chicken. Now it came in the way of wings with a little hot sauce on them.
Yeah.
You know, so
a little Popeyes. But, churches.
Yeah, churches too. Hey, let's get this show started. Then we have to take a hotline call real quick.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, let's do this relevant hotline call.
All right.
And you'll see what I'm talking about.
All right.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. So as we all know, when you make requests to Don Bobo, there's going to be some consequences that come along with your request being granted. So, of course, I wanted the Saints and LSU to win, but as a result, I believe my pick'em has taken a hit. But,
oh boy.
Never fear, Hoodat Nation, I will continue to sacrifice my pick'em so that we can keep getting these wins. Hoodat.
See, now, that's Lil Dice, friend of the show. you can call the hotline, 701-901-1295. It's simple. There's no waiting on hold. There's no – you just call and leave your thoughts. You can have a take. You can complain. Whatever it is you want to say, keep it under a minute, and we'll put it on the air just like you just heard the call from Lil Dice. But here's the thing. Lil Dice is taking a hit, but somebody else, and unfortunately he's in this room right now, and he's smiling and he's happy. There's the music. But when we come back in the second segment, we're going to have to talk about the winners and losers from the Pick'em contest this week. And don't get too happy, Tomas. Don't get too happy. 97.7 Sports Talk and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Boogie on down. Tonight. Yeah. Get your blood flowing a little bit, right? Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew, Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, here on Sports Talk 97.7 in Ruston and Monroe and on the internet, which is worldwide, Tomas.
That's correct.
Worldwide.
Worldwide.
You can find us. Matter of fact, soon I'm going to reveal the stats, the statistics for all the different countries that we're in. I mean, it's big time.
Wonderful.
I mean, I think last week we talked about two whole entire people listened to us, or at least downloaded. Doesn't mean they actually listened to it.
That's correct.
In France. I mean, can only imagine what it's... It can only imagine that people in... That the Saints went over to Great Britain. I'm sure they were like, oh, that's such a lovely podcast. I'd like to listen to it more.
What's your favorite thing there in Britain?
I don't know.
Dilly Dilly.
No, yeah. Dilly Dilly. Dang, man. You guys, that's why I keep y'all around, because y'all funny, man. I mean, I forgot about that. Off to the pit of misery for you. Yes. So this week, speaking of that, the Saints had the NFC South bend a knee. If you want your Game of Thrones reference, I'm big Game of Thrones. I just got finished watching it for the second time. I've learned more in the second go-round than I did the first time. It's like I was still confused, and I'm sure I can watch it again and still learn some stuff.
You have way too much time.
I do have too much time on my hands, but the NFC South bent a knee. Every team, 2 weeks in a row, except for the Saints. The Saints win 2 weeks in a row. Every team in the NFC South.
Let's keep it up.
Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa Bay lose.
You mean Atlanta lost to New England Patriots?
Yeah, imagine that. This time,
I can't imagine that.
Hey, they were like, it's like that little joke where, how does it go? Like, the boy has a little girl climb up the ladder so he can look at her panties, and went back, and mom says, you said, no, this time I didn't wear any panties. Well, you never heard that joke? It's I can't. Okay.
Good times and rain, huh?
Yeah.
Growing up.
It was a joke a long time. Now Atlanta, they're like, we'll show them. We won't give up a big lead. We'll just get our backside kicked in.
Yeah.
They never had to lose. That's right. Yeah. So, but before we get into that,
yeah,
we're going to have the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
But, Tomas, let's go over the picks. $150 in prizes. If you guys who haven't joined, it's too late, but just, you know, start getting ready for next year.
Yeah, that's right. Get ready for next year.
What you could do is start playing along at home.
Yeah,
and keep track, and you could say
the home version.
I would have won this much.
That's correct.
Had I participated.
Had you.
Free money. Anyway, Tomas, give us an update on the leaderboard.
On the leaderboard. Here we go. The update on leaderboard. Number one.
Oh, boy.
With 48 points is Rob, 22278. Number two, tied, picked over, and another 7-9 at 46 points. And then 1, 2, 3 people tied for third place.
And who would those people be, Tomas?
BS and Beer Tomas.
Oh, here we go.
Joe Groove and Little Dice.
Little Dice all up
504.
Here. Already gave us a hotline call.
There you go. You see, so.
That's a nice compliment of people who are in the money. As a matter of fact, listen, as poorly as I played, and look, I know people can call me out. They're going to look for our accounting firm to come in and validate this stuff.
That's correct.
Accounting firm of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. That's the guys we use.
Correct.
Because somehow or another, I went from like 55 to 25 in 1 week. I don't know how it happened, but it just shows my picking prowess. I'm back to letting people fall into that false sense of security.
There you go.
And then I come back and smash them at the end.
That's so Dave's up to number 25.
Yep. Heath.
I'm still doing the fall. I'm going to make the big comeback.
Yeah, later. You wait for the second half?
I like that.
It's not where you start. It's where you finish.
Yeah. Right,
Heath was complaining. He wasn't able to participate last week, so that's when we do our picks, and he's like, I forgot to do my picks. So how bad it hurt you?
Well, you know what? Here's the funny part. I picked some and didn't make all of the picks, but I had as good a week as I normally do.
Right.
I got sick some kind of way. I don't know. So
absolutely.
I was good with the ones that I picked.
Well, you guys ready for some good, bad, and ugly?
I got 12. You didn't ask me how many I got.
Oh, well, that's the
12.
Thing is, I know that you're going to tell us anyway, so
you know,
I'm not going to spend a lot of time asking
push,
you.
So actually, I had like 13. I'm just saying.
Anyway. All right, let's get to some good and the bad and ugly, because we're going to have to listen to this all week.
Oh,
this is not going away. It's not going away.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right, it's hard to bang on the Saints too much when they're on a four-game winning streak, and they pretty much, listen, they started off, they were shaky early with a couple of turnovers that put us in a bad spot. But for the most part, the Saints controlled the game.
Yeah.
And when it's all said and done, they won by 9 points. Did that actually cover the spread? Because I remember it started off prior to the Detroit game, the Saints were six-point underdogs in Green Bay. Then the Saints win in the combination with Aaron Rodgers getting injured.
Yeah.
There was a 12-point swing. Now, that was, you know, early in the week. 12-point swing in the spread. I don't know if it went down because I didn't necessarily check. I'm not a big gambler, so I don't go around checking the spreads all week. But this was an unprecedented kind of swing.
5.5 at game time.
Okay, so the Saints 5.5.
I have a green check next to my name.
Oh, and a green check. See, I told you this wasn't going away. Anyway. The Saints end up winning the game, 9 points, and for the most part, controlled it. So I'm going to start off with Heath and get his first good of the game.
Let's see. I'm going to give a shout out to the running game specifically for the Saints. You know, they did a good job all game, especially at the end of the game. In the timely runs, when you want to be able to have those runs to run the clock out, pick up that first down so you can kneel it out and get out of there, they came through in that way.
Well, and you're right. In the fourth quarter or later in the game, yeah, when we had a little lead and we were controlling the game, that's what we wanted to see in Detroit.
Right.
And we couldn't do it. And we ended up in a situation where we gave Detroit so many opportunities, and that's why they scored those points and the turnovers.
Right.
This time, the Saints used that offensive line, which I'm calling a top five offensive line when everybody's healthy, although we have some issues there now.
Yep.
But Tomas, we run the ball, we run the clock out, not completely, but we're using a running game to run the clock. We managed it properly, and we walk away with a pretty decisive win. What is your good of the game, Tomas?
All right, my good of the game is this. As opposed to last year and years previous, we finally have a coaching staff that can make halftime adjustments. Now, I want to tell you that this is one of the things that I think a lot of people haven't taken under consideration. We have new players. We have a lot of young kids running around. That's true. But, you know, we also have a very new group of coaches. We have a new defensive line coach. We have a new tight ends coach. We have a returning but new wide receivers coach. We have a new assistant in the backfield. There are a number of new coaches and assistant coaches, and it takes time. New linebackers coach. You know, it takes time for their message to be understood clearly. I think in the first two games that we lost, I believe that was part of the issue, was the communication wasn't quite there. And I think the coaches themselves weren't quite sure who was going to be able to do what. But in this game, I saw clearly, halftime, we came back from halftime a different team. And I think it was because of adjustments. And I'm so happy to see those adjustments happen. So my good is the coaching staff being able to make adjustments when we needed them.
Absolutely. I think that's lost a lot of times when we talk about all these new faces.
Yeah.
Because you kind of forget about, you know, Dennis Allen's still the defensive coordinator, but we have a new linebackers coach who was a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
We have
Nate, defensive line coach yeah, who came from college.
Right, he's a college guy, very enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of new faces that you don't see every day because they don't play on the field. They're coaches. And I think they've made a big impact.
Absolutely.
My good of the game is, again, the defense, and I'm going to be a little bit more specific. Drew Brees threw two interceptions in the first half. Both of them were kind of, I don't know, head-scratching kind of passes. But after we threw the interceptions, two three-and-outs that the defense forced. So now you're talking about a quarterback making mistakes and the defense picking them up.
Right.
So now instead of throwing an interception or fumble or turn the ball over in general and then giving up a 68-yard touchdown drive, now we're just getting the ball right back, which to me evolves into a bigger thing. At some point, you would think that Drew Brees is going to have to start really being more confident in his defense and not taking as many risks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, aspect of the game that he's obviously been missing, you know, for a few years now. And but you're right. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, and that's what it's all about. Drew Brees can't be perfect all the time.
Right.
Nobody is. And, you know, the defense has to be able to come out there and do their half in those situations.
And you know? And you brought it up that okay, a lot of times I remember complaining or complaints about Drew Brees because he wasn't perfect. Now, that's not how it was presented. It wasn't like, man, I can't believe Drew Brees wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
But what they're talking about is like, oh, man, Drew Brees had two interceptions. Well, you know what? If the defense comes and picks you up,
right.
And I'm not trying to turn this into a Drew Brees, you know, back patting session, because those were two awful interceptions in my opinion.
Yeah.
They were awful. But the fact of the matter is that the defense picks them up. So anytime you have a good team, it's not about you live and die by whether or not Drew Brees or any one player has a good game.
That's right.
Drew Brees has an off day, which he didn't. He had a good game. It's just those two turnovers were costly,
yeah.
Or at least they were, you know, ill-timed. We got behind in the first half. Without those interceptions, and someone pointed out, and I know ifs and skiffs and all that other stuff, but, you know, let's just say both of them were in scoring position. Let's just say we end up with, you know, 6 points out of it instead of two turnovers.
Right.
You know, we're in a lot different situation. That game looks a lot different. So I think that Drew Brees being able to rely on his defense is going to go a long way to the success of the team and him not feeling like he has to make every play on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's move on. We want to go to a bad.
Okay.
All right. So, Tomas, I'll start with you. What's
all
your
right,
bet?
Now, I don't want people to think that I'm just a one-sided, one-dimensional guy. So my bet for this game is going to be number 20 on defense. That's right.
Well, okay. Got to take him. Got to take his lumps when he deserves them.
Yeah. You know, Crawley had played a couple of really good games, and suddenly the bad habits came back. In this game, too much handsy. You know, he's got to put his hand on a guy. Dude, you have to trust that your skills are good enough that you don't have to grab. Now, it's not that everybody doesn't grab. Everybody in the defensive backfield grabs. But he did it in such a way that it was just, you couldn't help but see it.
Yeah.
So, to me, this week, the bad goes to Crawley. Even though I still would say to you, when you look at the statistics, the guy he was covering didn't get a heck of a lot.
Well,
in spite
here's the thing, because I obviously agree with you, but I would look at it a little bit differently. As I was watching the game again and reviewing the film today, I don't have a bunch of complaints about his coverage. The last couple of weeks, it's been his tackling. Because, okay, so there was a play in the game where there's
one.
A flag, and just by, you know, if you watch the game enough, you know that, okay, in this situation, it's a defensive holding call, and I looked at Tomas and I said, It's either Crawley or
Vaccaro.
And not because I think both those players are bad, but when the quarterback has too much time, they're both the type of guys who really don't excel when they have to cover for a long time. Because, like, I do like Crawley. He's your guy.
Yes,
I give him a hard time, Tomas. But he's not the fastest guy. He's not the quickest guy. He relies a lot on his hands, and so the ball's got to come out.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when it doesn't come out right away, the two guys on the field that tend to have to grab so they can stick to their guys, Vaccaro and Crawley.
Right.
So I'm not upset when every once in a while, because there were a lot of times when we got pressure and Hundley escaped. I mean, he looked very athletic.
Yeah.
Once he gets out of the pocket, now it's a scramble
free
drill.
Yeah.
And Vaccaro is the type of guy, he's a hitter, he's a thick guy, he's good, he's athletic. But when you start having him cover too long, he's going to have to grab somebody. And Crawley is that person too. So I'm going to give him a break on that. But what my problems are is that his tackling. Last week we had the touchdown where, I mean, I don't know what he was doing.
Well, he's not wrapping up.
Well, yeah.
You know, he's not wrapping up. He's given a body shot every time, and the same thing in this game.
And he's missing. I mean, it's not like he's drilling the guy.
Or he'll get the body shot, but he's giving it to somebody who outweighs him by, you know,
right,
30,
right.
40
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah.
So they're not really doing the job.
So here's
the
thing.
But I would say to you that Crawley – I think has better speed, not by much, but by some. What I've noticed is Vaccaro, and I've said this during the game, his legs are getting heavier and heavier. We talked about how he had gained some weight for this, But to me, if anybody seems to have lost more in the speed department than anybody else in our defensive backfield, it's Vaccaro.
And I could see that because you mentioned injuries, and I brought up that, like, look, more years in the league, his role is closer to the line of scrimmage. For a while now, he's been playing kind of a hybrid linebacker role.
Yeah.
And so now puts on a little weight, and he gets a little thicker. He's losing a little quickness, but depending on where they want to put him. You know, in the ankle he broke his rookie year. Yep. Yeah. So we
– although kind of ironically, he, you know, ended the Packers' chances with the
– with the interception.
Playing
deep center field
with the interception. Well, which is not where we expect him to ever do anything.
To make his plays. Yeah. Right, right. So absolutely. And I think that despite – what we're talking about right now, and I think this is going to be something that we're going to need to talk about later on in the show, is Bro is now been placed on the to return list, the injured reserve to return. Now you have a little, you're seeing a little chink in the armor with Crawley. Where does Bro fit? We're going to have to ask that question. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Sports Talk 97.7. Don't go anywhere. We're back with more Saints Talk wall to wall.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. It's exciting stuff going on. It's Dave Romero. It's Heath Elson-San. It's Tomas Mauricio.
Winner.
And it's Sports Talk 97.7. I told you, Heath, this is not going to end. Yeah. Next week, he'll be talking about this week's pick'em. Yeah. Right, he's excited.
Only
he's happy.
I don't beat 12.
Just ignore him, Dave.
Yeah, I try to block it out. It's not easy though. He's a big personality.
He'll stop.
Yeah, no,
my
he won't.
Personality
he
overwhelms everyone.
Yes, overwhelming personality. Not listen, sure. Saints turnaround versus the NFL's toughest schedule. We started off 0-2.
Yes,
we're now 4-2.
Right,
4-game winning streak, and it's been against the toughest schedule in the NFL.
And more to come.
And more to come. Listen. Everybody keeps talking about how this schedule, and it gets easier because I think that's how we all kind of felt early in the season. You got Buffalo playing well.
Three B's and two R's. Go ahead.
I saw, what's that?
Three B's and two R's. The next five games.
Okay. You can't just say stuff like that and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Bears, Bucks, Bills.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Rams and Redskins.
All right. Well, thank you for that explanation. It just says random stuff and I'm like, okay.
Brr, it's getting cold out.
Trade rumors and Kakaha. We need to talk about that. There was a bad call on Klein. You can go to my Twitter, and I have video. I got into a debate with a Green Bay fan who says that horse collar call was a good call and it was out of bounds.
You know,
and I broke it all down and went back.
Of course a Green Bay fan said that.
Of course. And everything he said, I came back and just showed him a different video or a different and if you want to check it out, Saints BS. Matter of fact, Tomas, what's your Twitter? Let's let them know.
BS and Beer. Who dat?
Who dat?
Got nothing BS.
Got nothing BS.
I like that one. Yeah.
That's Heath because he's all. You know, I feel like since we started here broadcasting instead of internet casting, since we went broad, he don't do the I got nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was his trademark for two years.
Yeah, you're right.
So I need you to kind of bring it down.
Bring it back down.
Quit doing stuff.
Okay,
quit paying attention.
Yeah.
Quit having any insider information.
I'll throw the knowledge out and everything.
Yeah, got nothing.
Yep,
all right.
There you go.
So let's see. Fourth quarterback to reach 500 TD passes. Guess who that was this Sunday, Tomas?
Matty Ice?
No.
Cam Newton.
No. Keep going. We got two more guesses.
Crab legs.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
Is only the fourth quarterback to reach 500 touchdown passes.
He had another first in the NFL. He had a first in the NFL.
What was that?
He's the first quarterback to throw for 300-plus yards in seven consecutive games against the same team.
You know, some of these random
stats. How obscure is that? Yeah, who's sitting around with some computer going, hey, guys, I got another stat for you.
That's what we need. Matter of fact, listen, send us an email.
Yeah. We need statisticians.
BS and Beer.
Statisticians out there.
Exactly. What he said. BS and Beer at iCloud. If you're one of those guys who likes to get information and random information and stuff, and you can be part of the show. We're going to have you. We'll give you credits. But,
sure.
Just give us a rundown of some interesting stuff. That's how those guys do it, man. Yeah. They have that big budget.
Real stuff, though. Legit.
No, it don't have to be legit. We're not that right now, man. This guy's going to be working for free, man. We don't need all kind of, you know, come on.
Listen, you can make up something cool.
Yeah, just something cool that people say, ooh, that was, you know, that's all we're looking for. The Pats during the game against the Falcons. Okay, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But one of the Patriots fans were tracking unanswered points by the Falcons, and they went all the way back to the Super Bowl, and at one point it got up to 54 before the Falcons actually scored. So 54 unanswered points in their last two meetings, and that's where we were. We're going to talk a little bit in the next segment about some injuries that we have and some people that that didn't dress out for the game, some question marks, something.
Question mark.
I know, we're going to have to talk about it. But before we do that,
yes, sir.
Do you guys want to hit our ugly?
Sure.
Let's do the ugly.
Yeah.
Who raise your hand if you want to go first.
Sure,
all right, there's Tomas with the hand up.
Sure, I'll give you guys time to think. All right.
Oh, God.
So my ugly.
He's full of himself now.
Unlike my winning 12 points for the the ugly. Lambeau Field has to be my ugly. Sooner or later, somebody's going to break their freaking neck. I think I broke his freaking neck. You know, sooner or later, somebody's going to break his neck on that stupid hunk of plastic 2 yards off of the infield. I mean, who designed, you know, at some point, somebody's got to go in and say, dude, we can't have a hard sub. Did you see, on several plays, our players went to the side, get out of bounds, and they couldn't stop because of the crappy field to begin with. Suddenly they're on that plastic with cleats that are too long.
Yep.
Shoo-boom! You know?
Yeah. One more time.
Shoo-boom!
Yeah, Ginn looked like he was on a slip and slide down the sideline. Fast as he runs, he went for a ways.
All the kids are like, ooh, Dad, can I have that?
Can you go down there?
Yeah.
So to me, that's the ugly in this game. For gosh sake, for some, you know, for a field that's supposed to be filled with tradition, get the thing fixed, for gosh sake.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It's dangerous, too. So my ugly... Ted Ginn Jr. returning punts. Now, here's the thing. You know, the last 2 weeks, he's been a beast. 13 targets, 13 catches. You've seen all the plays he's made.
Yeah, he's made some good ones.
Yeah, a lot of. So then you start forgetting that the guy has questionable hands. And it makes me a little nervous that as well as he's playing, that he's all, like, okay, I don't believe in karma. I don't believe in, you know. Well, that's a whole different thing. Don Bobo has proven himself.
Nope. Yeah.
But I don't believe in all those things, but I believe in do. If you do something 10 times, if it's normally 50%, then eventually you might get one side, you flip a coin, you might get one side 10 times in a row, but eventually over a duration of time, it's going to even out to what it normally is. You know, it's going to be somewhere around 50%. And Heath is looking at me like, where are you going with this?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is sooner or later he's due for a bunch of drops.
Yeah.
So,
no, I was just thinking the odds of getting the same side of the coin 10 times in a row make the lottery odds look good.
Oh, you researched yeah. that. I was just using that as a point.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
So here's the thing is that how long before we start seeing someone like, oh, he's open and he drops.
Well, we kind of did. He was open for the punt twice and kind of
right.
dropped it.
Right. And,
but see, I think it's a focus issue. I really do. Because of what he did, I think, because of the muffs that he had, I think he stepped it up as a receiver. And I think it was simply because he focused more on what his job was to catch the ball. You know, there were a lot of extenuating. I'm not saying that the guy is not, you know, he's Mr. Dependable 100% of the time he's going to catch it. I'm not saying that. But, you know, no risk, no reward, you know. You're taking a chance. The guy's got moves and he's got speed. All right, you take a chance. He's going to, sooner or later, well, he dropped two. Okay. But sooner or later, he's going to break one for 90 yards and it's a touchdown.
Right. And here's the thing. I said this even before the season started. I think you kind of have to take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
And I've already come to the conclusion, I said this in the offseason, that in the role that Ted Ginn is playing in the Saints offense, he is better than Brandon Cooks.
I agree.
And now, I didn't say he was better in the preseason. I'm just saying that now he is. He's proven to be. Brandon Cooks in our offense, whether he was misused, underutilized, however you want to look at it, he basically ran a lot of clear-out routes. You get something for him, which turns out to be Ramchek, which very
Winner.
Valuable, yeah. right? A win. And then now you have a guy that can run fast and clear things out. But now he's proven to me, when we got Brandon Cooks, I had the expectation, and I think the Saints did too, that he would be able to run those little tunnel screens and the wide receiver screens. He was very ineffective at it.
Yeah. And could he run back punts and kicks?
He couldn't run back punts and kicks. So now we've gotten to the point where Ted Ginn is better than what Brandon Cooks, at least what he was here with the Saints.
Yeah.
So I'm not really complaining, but I am saying that I'm nervous. Because we're now getting to the point where Ted Ginn, you know, he's a couple of drops, he had to muff. And speaking of those, how about that halo call? I didn't know that rule. Yeah. I thought when he touched the ball,
Heath and I told you that's what it was.
I don't feel like y'all told me that when I feel like it was a big old everybody was
no,
in.
No, I'm sorry.
No, you okay. Now you act like you just knew, huh?
You just didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, okay, maybe right. Not. But here's the thing: I didn't realize that when you call a fair catch, that you can bobble the ball, and you still have to allow him the opportunity to catch the ball, even if he's just juggling it around.
Right.
Once it hits the ground.
That's where the problem came in. They hit him before the ball ever hit the ground.
Right. And so he's sitting there juggling it. And quite frankly, there's a very good chance that he would have caught it if he wouldn't have been. Because the ball didn't fly away from him. It was still basically juggling around in his
hands. When I rewatched the game, from what they showed, I looked down at the feet as I, you know, that you were talking about if you had a different angle, you could see how close he was. You know, I was looking at their feet. The guy who they penalized for the Green Bay team, his feet were actually on the side of.
So he's right there.
Gint.
Yeah, because just so that everybody understands where we're going with this, at the time, it was like, where was he? And because of the camera angle, we couldn't really tell, was he a yard away or was he, you know, 18 inches away?
Right.
So Tomas is saying when he watched it, and I actually didn't see that whenever I reviewed the film today.
When you look at it, just concentrate on the feet. You know, don't look at where he is in the camera. Look down the bottom part, they show the feet. And you can see that the defender's feet, you know, are right next to. So there's no way. What he's done is he's put himself there and sort of
kind of lean back. Right.
You see?
And now, having said that, though, what I learned about this play and about that rule is that it didn't matter.
Because that's not what they called. You know, in other words, I think they could have called either aspect of it.
Right.
He was within the halo. But ultimately, the way they explained the play. Now, this could have just been the announcer saying that, too. You know, I don't know that. We didn't hear that directly from the officiator.
No, we did. We actually, they went to Blandino.
He was the one that explained it. Was that once the ball hit his arms and popped back up in the air, they then made contact with him.
They hit him. And at that point, what they're saying is when you make a fair catch, even though you muff the ball, as long as it didn't touch the ground, they still have to give you the opportunity
to catch
the ball.
Right.
Now, had he not called for a fair catch.
Right, it would have been a whole different story.
Then what you're talking about, Tomas, is that it might have been in play now that the halo was broken. Having said that, this call was because, and it's just, I've never seen that before. I didn't realize that, no, once you fair catch, and I kind of made a joke. I mean, what happens if the guy, like, catches it and bobbles it and he's just running forward and picks up another 20 yards? I'm sure that wouldn't. Yeah. But I made a joke about that because I thought, like, oh, so basically you can just bobble it all over the place and they have to let you be until
all
you.
All the way down for a touchdown.
Until the
ball.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Nobody can touch me.
Yeah, nobody. All right.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that's all right.
One more thing, though.
Okay.
I can guarantee you, you know, when you want to make sure the ball is caught, they always send somebody else in, right?
Right.
That guy's most likely not going to return one for a touchdown. Probably 98% of all big punt returns, especially the touchdown ones, the ball was caught when the player's eyes were already looking down the field.
Right.
You're not going to make that kind of play watching it in your hands and then looking up to find out where everybody is. That's those you're going by feel alone.
Absolutely.
So you're going to take some of the good with the bad. Reggie Bush muffs some.
Exactly.
All the guys that return, make big returns,
are
going to muff some because they're looking down the field before they actually
catch the ball. They're trying to make a play before they actually catch the ball. Right. And, you know, how many times do we see that with just receivers?
And it happens with receivers as well.
Yeah, just dropping the ball, they turning up field, especially, it seems to me, on third down.
Is that what Coleman does? I'm not going to.
Hey, man, Coleman's catching.
Hey, Coleman, you know, listen,
two?
Man. Oh, one a day. One a day is a beast. He's beasting out over there, you know.
Yeah. So, I need to drop Thomas on my fantasy team and pick up Coleman.
That's what you need to do.
He's scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, if we're playing in the same league, I really need you to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sports Talk 97.7 in the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we do a little injury report. Got a couple guys to talk about, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
I love it. Y'all don't realize it, but right now we're all standing up dancing in the room.
That's
right. Hey, welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Heath Elson-san, Tomas Mauricio,
I got
Dave Romero. You like that?
Yeah.
All right. It's a little thing I like to do. They get all confused. Actually, I confuse myself more when I do that and point at different people with the wrong names.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, it's Sports Talk 97.7 Monroe, Ruston, and the internet worldwide.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. All right, so we're going to do a little injury report, but something that I saw that I thought was super interesting. Now, I'll be the first to say I am not a big fan of PFF, Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
What they do is they essentially they get a bunch of amateurs, and I guess I talked to someone who did it, and I guess there is a little bit of training involved. Yeah. You have to do X amount of hours and of what have you. But basically they get someone, and I don't know if your background or whatever, you know, really – and that's why you see all these inconsistencies. But and now I feel like I have to go even further back. I wonder if everybody knows what PFF is. And yeah. So it's Pro Football Focus, and they review the film of games, and they give scores for all the players, kind of like a scout. Thing about it is sometimes you watch it and you'll just be like, man, this guy had a great game or this guy was terrible, and their scores don't reflect it. But before I get into all that, let's just get into the positive. So Marshawn Lattimore, the Saints cornerback, playing outstanding, rookie, first-round draft pick. His score, according to Pro Football Focus, is the highest grade of any rookie at any position in the last decade.
Yeah.
So essentially you're looking at like the who's who of defensive backs or of all players rookies.
Yeah.
Incredible, which now to me at least lends a lot of credibility to saying something that Tomas said last week is what about Marshawn Lattimore as the rookie of the year, or at least defensive rookie of the year.
Yep. Yeah.
So Tomas, have your feelings changed? Are you just down on him now and, like, ready to cut him?
Oh, yeah.
Trying
to
bring Bro back and replace Lattimore?
Absolutely, yeah.
But now what you were telling me?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to reverse
that. I think we need to have peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter jelly time.
There you go. I think we need to have PJ replace.
Yeah, I know you're kidding there. PJ doesn't seem to be replacing anybody.
No.
It was reported that when they were in England, that I don't know.
He messed up.
He didn't show up for a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe he was somewhere. They're like, no, PJ, please stay a little bit longer. We have more things to show you, love. And he was like, all right.
He brought the Bud Light.
My understanding was that he had too much of the beans on toast.
That you did mention that.
Remember
the beans
I
on
said
toast.
That.
You
beans
did
toast.
Say that.
I mean, you know, excuse me.
They may have kept it. All right. I don't even know what to say. They may have kept him a little bit too long in the pit of misery. Dilly dilly.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it for a meeting, and he's been sitting ever since. I mean, he's not getting a lot of playing time. And I didn't think he was playing poorly, but having said that, silly.
And he's not getting playing time because of the play they're getting on the field from the guys they're getting right now.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The chemistry.
Yeah. Listen, you get benched, the guy behind you, and that's why, hey, listen, my entire high school career and probably prior to that, I was never good enough to just walk out on the field. I didn't miss during football season. I never missed school because I didn't want anybody to get a chance to replace me at anything. I don't care what it was. I'm not going to miss a day of practice.
Rudy.
Rudy. So, look, this is an example of it. You know, he was playing solid. I think the Saints obviously liked him better going into the season because Crowley didn't even see any playing time. Now, where's peanut butter and jelly? And with Bro, his comeback is pending here. It'll probably be we might see him practicing this week when the injury report comes out. So I don't think that things are looking very good for PJ Williams right now.
Nope, I don't think so.
All right, well, let's get to some injury news.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
Whoa!
Depression, excessive misery. For bad luck, I have no luck at all.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmot of the Boudreaux Parish Feed Store, Gun Shop, Used Car, Beer Bait, Barbecue, Barber Shop, Laundry Mat Department. Now time for the New Orleans Saints Injury Report.
Man, I forgot about old Sheriff Cooter Wilmot. We don't get enough of him on the show anymore.
We sure don't. We need more.
Yeah, we need more Sheriff Cooter Wilmot on the show. Okay, so the big news, Larry Warford.
Yeah.
Now, preliminary reports, it's an abdominal injury.
Yes.
And I don't know. They said several weeks. I don't know what that means.
Could be several weeks.
And I'm not sure if he got this, like, did he get it at Popeye's? Or did he get it, like,
bending over to tie his shoes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you look at his abdomen, it looks like there's some awkward things going on there. Yeah. But, listen, he's played good ball. He's a big offseason free agent acquisition.
Yes.
Now, I'm not completely worried about it. As long as he comes back, you're going to have some injuries. Calamity's going to replace him during the game, and he's a solid player. Now, very versatile. I would hope that he wouldn't be in there a long time. And now, even more than Calamity, is you want to talk about paper thin depth. Now, we still have Rebus. Is it Laribus?
Yeah.
Josh, is it?
Josh Laribus, yes.
Okay, he's a guy that's played in the NFL. He started in the NFL,
he's
center,
been playing
guard.
A lot as a sixth lineman in the heavy package.
So, there. You know, I might be curious this week to see if maybe, you know, does he start over Calamity? Not necessarily he's better. Maybe they feel like Calamity's better off the bench. Be interesting to see what directions the Saints go. But I think that, you know, we have enough depth right now. But, man, when we in the offseason, our offensive line had tons of depth, and it was, oh, man, we got. But now we're cutting through that depth, and now it's getting a little thin.
Well, here's what I would tell you. A little surprise news that came out during the week, and that was one of the players that we have on the developmental squad had his pay increased significantly, and that was Cameron Tom,
yeah,
who is a center and a guard. And when I mean significantly, I mean like a lot.
No, he went from the weekly minimum for the practice squad to basically the minimum for a person on the active roster.
Yeah. Right, right.
Which, and I quite frankly, I don't remember exactly what it was, but he went from like 7,000 a week or 6,000 a week to 20 some odd thousand.
Right, I think it was like 5 to 25, something like that.
Something like that, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and obviously, okay, so what that means to me is that someone came to sign him off the Saints roster, and the Saints said, look, we have plans for you. We'll pay you what you would get to go to someone else's roster if you stay with us.
That plus I think that perhaps the Saints, rather than going to look for anybody else who might be footing around out there, I think they feel pretty confident with this kid and think that, well, if we have to bring somebody else in for the offensive line, that's what we're going to bring in.
Obviously, they're not going to just pay him that extra money just right. to say, oh, let's go find somebody else now. And I think obviously the Saints look at it and say they realize the depth. And that's a great point that you brought up, because I had forgot about that with all the excitement of the winning and this those little transactions during the week. I kind of forgot about it. Mm-hmm. But that says right there the Saints have confidence in him that they don't want him to go and play somewhere else because they think he has a future. And we just talked about the depth. So at this point, looks like Tom, Laribus, and Calamity's are interior depth. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Sports Talk 97.7. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two right ahead. Hey, don't forget to download and listen to hour number two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.